That's right. This is Cassidy Silver, the Casshole. You know, you thought you got rid of me? That will never happen. I think it's time all of you just accept the fact that I'll be around and that I'm better than you. Let's get to Christian first. Christian, you kicked me off of my own show. I named the show. I own the freaking domain name. And you're going to be going around firing me and firing Calvin for no good reason. And I'll tell you why you don't have a good reason. You think Calvin is defecting over to Commander Cast because he's the co-host with Willie. You've been on that show more than Calvin. You do that stupid segment. I can't even remember what it's called because who gives a shit? Dumb social media bullcrap. You might as well be a TMZ whore. Guess what? You're a hypocrite. That's the thing. You work for Commander Cast. And you know what's worse? Is you've got the most talent of anyone on that show. So it's basically your show. So what you've done is you fired Calvin from my show. For being on your show. That's just not going to work. You know what? I got a huge law bomb to drop on y'all. But I have a few more people that I want to address. Just to make sure they know what's up. Now Calvin. Calvin. What are you doing to yourself, man? You're basing yourself over here. We've been having a lot of trouble getting in contact with you. You don't reply to our emails. You know, we just thought you were busy. Makes sense. You know, you're a family man. You could have just told us that it was because of Commander Cast, and instead I have to hear it out of the mouth of Big Willie. I mean, I guess I'm happy for you. You want to be a co-host for Commander Cast? I mean, maybe when Andy was around, but come on, what are you doing to yourself? I just can't believe you didn't tell us. Why would you hide something like this from us? Christian had no right to fire you, but at the same time, man, I can see why. You know what, Calvin? This is the worst part. I thought you were smart. You know, I thought you were smart like me. I thought we got what was going on, but apparently not. You're just like all the other sheeple that don't know what the hell is going on and just need to be force-fed all this garbage until their minds are completely gone, like all of our listeners here. You know what, though? I'll get to the listeners in a second, but I will say this. You know what, Calvin? Despite the betrayal, despite the fact that you're obviously lowering yourself, I'm okay with you coming back. You know what? You can come back onto my show. And we'll get that in a little bit as well. If you're going to be a dumbass, at least we could definitely use a little helper on the show. Keep being our little secretary. Yeah. So come on back, man. Now let's get to the fans of Off Color Cast. If I can even call you fans. Because you're barely around. And you're just mostly dicks. You know, I'll be honest. As soon as Christian fired me, he announced it to everyone on Facebook, and, you know, I didn't really have a time to realize what was going on, because I thought we were headed night off, you know, and I find out I'm fired, and I see all these comments on Twitter and Facebook talking about how good riddance, good thing Calvin and Cassidy are gone. That's just jealousy on your guys' part, I gotta be honest. I mean, every troll on the internet, I've noticed, they're just completely jealous, just pointless little people who have nothing better to do than tweet and Facebook all day. And nothing to contribute to society. And you're just jealous of a person like me. I mean, I've been in a band. I've recorded albums. My music is on both EDH podcasts, on Commander Cast and this show. I just finished writing a book, which makes me obviously better than all of you fucking scrubs that think they can write. I write an article every week and I get paid for it. You know, it's just really sad, honestly. I gotta say, all of our listeners are just really sad people. And I'm not sad for them. I'm sad at them. So any of you idiots who are glad that me and Calvin were gone, well, I got news for you. We're not gone. And we're never going to leave. And to be honest, we don't need you. We never did. So if you don't like us, go fuck yourself. I have a few specific circumstances I want to address, namely UGU Doug. That's right. I'm calling you out, Judson. I'm calling you out on our show. You never call on our show because you obviously have the voice of a Chinese girl. I know you always have Christian's dick in your mouth, but I'm kind of tired of you asserting yourself into our show like you were part of it, and you're not. You're just some douchebag fan. Well, now that I've gotten all that out of the way, here's the real meat of why I'm here. Here's what I have to tell you. I talked to my lawyer, Mr. Blah Blah Blah. And apparently, we have an in perpetuity clause in our contract where We are not allowed to be fired by any of us. We came together as a three-person. You know, I got 34%. Those guys got 33% because they can't do math. Not only can Christian not fire either of us, this is actually a double-arm legal lock. Because none of us can quit either. That's right, Calvin. I know you were thinking of quitting. And I know me and Christian had talked about it before. But we can't quit. It's in our contract. If we quit, we lose all the money that we got out of Off-Color Cast, all the lucrative tie-ins that we have with TCG Player. And I know that all of us are basically living off the money of this podcast right now. So if any of us quit, all that money goes to me, because I own the domain name. Now, we are going to continue with our regular episode of Off-Color Cast. And there's not going to be any of this talk of Calvin getting fired or anyone quitting. And I don't care what Christian or his Superman dong have to say about it.
Hey, superstars, this is Chris coming at you. Before we get into the wonderful, wonderful show, I just want to tell you that I had super stupid internet problems during this one, so it's pretty short. So instead of just giving you one segment, which is mostly what we did, and then we had Calvin mispronounce some things, which is awesome. Our boy Cassidy wrote a book for whatever reason, so as a nice little treat at the end, ironic since Calvin said he hates this sort of thing, I'm going to share a little bit of Cassidy's book, Sun Snuff, with you, and you can check it out at sun-snuff.com, or just Google Sun Snuff. It's Cassidy's old book. All right, kids, on with the show. Good health to you. Hey, true believers, it's that time again. It's time for Off Color Cast. Was the skeleton ship, but I have my lawyers going through the contracts right now to see if I can get rid of these two bastards. This is a segmented EDH podcast that loves to focus on the serious, the aggressive, and the awesome of EDH or Commander. I'm Chris, I run this thing, and I'm awesome. Let's see who we got for co-host today. We got backstabbing ass snake number one, Cassidy Silver. Why don't you say hello to everybody?
I don't know why I'm the backstabber here. Anyways, it's Cassidy, at Right or Wrong on Twitter. I got the articles over at TCG Player. Cool.
You done did it now.
Yeah. Also, let's... Go away, Milo. Don't push me! Oh, okay. Kiss.
Ah.
Okay.
Kissing kids. Where they do that at?
What? Oh, you want to say hi?
No. Sup?
Hey.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, buddy.
Man, you're way cooler than Cassidy. Hey, do you want to take Cassidy's spot for half the pay?
Can you say night-night?
Night-night.
Going to bed already? Wuss.
Okay, so, before I was really interrupted by that cute little thing.
Actually, I'm a little late.
No.
Cassidy hit the GTS on that poor child.
I imagine you probably like doing that while he's still small enough for you to do it.
Oh, he's fun to throw around. He loves it. I have a few announcements, actually. One is my book is finally available, so you can go check that at sun-snuff.com. Order that book. It's awesome. And then also, I'm going to be opening a gaming store in the Chicagoland area with a friend of mine. So,
I'm guessing your friend has all the money.
Yeah. I'm just the pretty face.
You're gonna be his bitch, is what I'm hearing.
No, not really. Actually, he doesn't want to have to deal, so I'm gonna be. Yeah,
must be nice to have rich ass friends everywhere. You just like, oh, I feel like doing this. Me and Calvin wish we had rich ass friends. They're like, I'm gonna open up a get blowjob store, and we'd be like, yeah, we can help you out with that. No, we don't have those dreams. No, go on.
Oh man, so much jealousy from everyone lately. it's gonna be I'm gonna be running it, so it'll be EDH themed and all that stuff. Lots of magic cards and other stuff to do, Warhammer tables. So
I hope it's not just EDH themed. Nothing'll. You want it to just sink like a damn toilet?
I'll just call the store Off Color Cast.
Oh great! Oh man, I'm not putting an ad for your damn store in front of every episode. You're gonna be like, we're sponsored by, except we don't get anything. You're not pulling that shit on me.
Whatever, then I'll just use the store to pay for the domain name and
oh, thanks store for that $15 a month. I mean year. What am I talking about? Month?
That'd be sick if it cost that much money. Holy crap!
I sent Gudong's a Puka trade because I don't even use it. But Corey Jude was trying to find other cards Gudong's wanted to send him a Dryad satchel or whatever, Druidic satchel.
Yeah,
because you know, it's like 30 points, so it's not worth the postage to even send it.
Yeah.
So while Corey Jude was doing that, I just grabbed it and been like, I'm sending it.
Oh, man,
I'm a bad man.
That's what's wrong with Puka trade, is that like most of the time it's not even worth what people are.
No, it's not
trade.
At all.
Yeah.
But the problem, like, since I'm an idiot, I put a bunch of throw-ins in there, mostly like bad goblins and stuff.
Yeah.
And I was just I have cards in bags and stuff from GPs, and because I don't really play paper magic at all, I'm like, oh, increasing confusion. I'll throw that in there. Friggin' increasing confusion is worth more than like 4 druidic satchels.
No way.
Yeah, my throw-ins are worth more than the card I actually sent. Did you have anything else to pimp out? Are you pregnant again?
No, I just wanted to tell people about the store.
Okay, so if you're in Chicago area, and you hate yourself, I guess go to the store.
Thanks, Chris.
That's what I'm here for.
It's good to be back.
And then we've got Numero Uno backstabbing ass, friggin' Marty Jannetty ass. Who is the dude that Billy Gunn hit with the guitar?
Bart Gunn?
Yeah, that guy. I guess you'd be more Billy Gunn, but he was better, so I'm Billy Gunn, and I'm hitting you with the guitar, Calvin. Say hello to Calvin, everybody.
Oh, hey, everybody. It's Calvin, Captain Resident on the Internet. The reason I'm douchebag number two is because everybody knows that I'm the shit.
What?
Yeah, that's right.
All right, we'll go with
it. That's the best way I'm going with it, sir. let's see, off color cast. What number is this?
49, I think.
49?
Because 48, well, Jesus. I'm actually not sure if I should throw in another. Yeah, we'll make episode 50 special, so I won't throw another bullshit episode in.
Okay.
Yeah.
God.
I was thinking of 49. Running the skeleton ship gimmick even further, but.
I think you'd have to do a lot of work by yourself.
I got good reviews from Luis. Luis said it was awesome. I'm like, all right.
Yeah, he said it was about time that we got fired.
God, I still can't believe that guy took the time to write a 10-page novel about that.
Yeah, did you reply to him at all?
No, I'm just like, what?
I kind of want to almost be like, please don't stop listening to our show.
So, obviously, the stats emails we've been getting have been off for some odd reason. Either everyone just stopped listening to us. But from what the people were saying, it seems to be happening to everybody, so I don't think that. So maybe our numbers previously were a little inflated.
Yeah, probably that's what it is. I mean,
whatever, kids.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else to say, Calvin?
Wait, we had stats?
Yeah. You don't want to look at them, though. They're like... 10 people. It's not that bad, like, but it feels that bad.
I think it's like my mom, and that's it.
And then my mom.
And Cassidy's store. Cassidy's store downloaded us once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your store going to be called, Cassidy? Have you decided that yet?
Yeah, it's a chain, because he already opened one down in Tennessee.
Oh, what's it called?
It's called Gamer's Link.
I was going to hope it was going to be called, like, the Dragon's Butthole.
Nah, it's really generic. It's
I would have been all about Dragon's Butthole Games, man.
Dragon's Balls.
Well, we're in the middle of, like, the hipster area of town and by a big mall.
So that's, like, not the get shot area of town?
No, not at all. We're actually in, like, the suburbs, northwest suburbs, so it's pretty killer what we've got going on, so I don't know.
Until you get some, like, dumbass kid to work for you, and he's like, I'm dumb. And you're like, yeah.
I don't care. Bring on the kids.
Okay. We accept a dumbass kid because he's too stupid to realize that he's being paid peanuts.
Are you gonna run other card games, sweet ones? Are you gonna run versus?
Well, there's not
versus.
I guess the
I haven't. Go ahead.
Sorry. This would be Cassidy's chance to actually play his WWE game.
Yep.
He's going to teach kids how to buy up like a whole bunch of stock off of eBay and then just like sell it at the store.
That wouldn't be a bad idea. I'd probably just keep them all, though, because I'm greedy. Actually, I don't know yet. I know Munchkin I really want to try to push, because I think that's pretty easy to sell, and that game's so fun. So that's kind of what I'm thinking so far. Magic just makes so much more money than everything else that it's hard not to like just plan for that, mostly.
That's because Yu-Gi-Oh! Actually cares about people getting the cards instead of selling them.
Yeah, and
they'll just put out tins with like imagine if like they just magic if Wizards put out a tin with the reserved list in it. That's basically what Yu-Gi-Oh does.
Oh, really? Well, that makes it more accessible, I guess, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like the you like Jake's Demise Sculptor? Well, here's a tin for Christmas that we're going to print out.
Yeah, here's your Christmas Jake's like Demise Sculptor tin.
It's a tin with a foiled copy of Jason Myers Sculptor and like six packs.
Sweet. Yeah. I don't really know if there's a lot of other card games even. I think L5R is still around. Maybe we can do something.
Oh, wow. Is it?
I think so.
I have trouble believing that.
Yeah.
How about 7C?
If that stuff's still around, we'll look into it and stuff.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is the intro done, boys, or are we moving on?
Yeah.
Yeah, intro's hella done. Oh, what are we talking? We'll get to it, though. All right, kids, so no stupid card this week, I know. I'm sad, too. But we're going to take a look at something that was being discussed for a little bit and sort of probably died off by now, but it's still worth really talking about. And it's just, what do people really want to see in EDH articles? Luckily, we do not speak for the people. We only speak for ourselves. So we're mostly going to talk about what we want to see in EDH articles. I'm here with a current writer and then a guy who used to write and doesn't at all. And I've penned maybe one article that I'm not completely ashamed of. But I think it seems like there's just so many crappy nothing decklist articles out there. And it'd be nice if there was, you know, more interesting stuff. I'm going to have a link in the show notes. Better Cassidy, the dude at General Damage Control, actually wrote about this, and there's some good comments in there about what people said. Nobody really agreed on anything, of course, but, you know, that's how Magic is. So let's just start off with we'll just go around. What do you like to see in them? And you write the most when it comes to EDH. What do you like to see when you're reading other articles, Cassidy?
Really, I like people to, like, take a like a new approach to a deck. So like if you have an idea for a deck and you want to write an article about it, search the internet and just look at like tapped out decks and see what they're doing. Cause if you're going to make this like the same deck as someone on Tapped Out has, it's probably not going to be extremely, what's the word? You know, like enticing. There might not be much for you to say beyond like this card's good. Like really you need to come up with reasons to write about cards. You know, you can't just have 10 sentences about attacking. Like, ever put play cards to attack? That's not really an article.
Tell Calvin that.
I don't know what you're talking about, sir. That's always an article.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Calvin's articles were usually pretty short. And Calvin made them longer by, like, actually having, like, narrative structure and, like, making them interesting in other ways. So, like, that's a good way to do it, too. But, really, the other thing is if I do this a lot because I've been writing for a while, is when you like give updates on decks and talk about how it's changed and why you changed them and stuff like that. I like to read that kind of stuff a lot because that's a big thing of EDH. You know, is fixing that deck and keep using the same deck forever, pretty much. So, you know, I've had Omnath since I started playing EDH, much before I started writing about it. So every once in a while, I'll drop a line and say what's going on with Omnath, you know. So that's what I like initially when we're talking about our articles. What about you, Calvin? You're the other writer in the group here.
Yeah, the former writer. One of the things I personally actually used to like about articles was when people would actually try to make them interesting. Like, I fully understand, like, you know, you might have to, like, we can only have so many decks that talk about the various ways that Crush the Bloodbraider can be used to beat someone's face in with +1 counters. But at least, like, you should have, like, an interesting article which kind of explains why you would pick this card or this combination of cards. One of the things I used to do when I actually wrote articles was, it's like, I would actually divide my cards up into, like, sections as to, oh, these cards do this particular thing, and I kind of enjoy the way this card interacts with these cards, and because I'm trying to go with a theme here, this other card goes well, and because I have these cards, it makes it easier for me to play this group of cards. And then, like, at the end, I'd kept, like, the quote-unquote good stuff or the staples, like, towards the bottom of the page. Because everybody kind of knows what's going in when you're talking about, like, the Soul Ring, this, and the third. Because it was a nice way of kind of, like, just skipping over the, here's the staples and stuff that you know you're going to play. And here's the cards that I personally pick and the reason why I think they're worth running in this deck.
Yeah, I pretty much fall in the same line, like, all I really care about is whatever new interaction or whatever card you hadn't thought of using before and telling me about how you're going to use that. I would, and I think we can pretty much all agree with this, decklist articles might be the worst. The only thing that even comes close is the battle report. It's like, there's so many choice interactions in an EDH game that unless you're there, it is really terrible to read. Mm-hmm. Or at least, you know, that's just been how I've run into it. But tell me about what you're trying to do. Tell me about maybe the cards that are unique to it so that I can see and maybe use them myself. But everything else in the deck, I don't really care to hear about at all. I don't need to know, like, what ramp spells you're running or what you're running for spot removal or anything like that. I can do that. Mm-hmm. I don't need to see your deck list. I don't... like at all. And I know that, you know, for the kids out there, they might want to, you know, see the staples or see what ramp spells someone's running so that maybe they start running Sky Shroud Claim and Mono Green over, like, Explosive Vegetation or something. Is that something people do? Is the one better than the other?
Actually, Sky Shroud Claim's usually better for, like, multicolor decks because you can get shocks, you know.
Oh, okay.
And duels and stuff.
Yeah. But, like, you know, maybe the kids need to see something like that. But, you know, I'm so, you know, bored with cards that I already know about. So, you know, I think that might be one of our things, too, is we're all coming at this from having consumed a copious amount of EDH content. We're having to create it. And I would actually put out there that I don't think EDH is a format that can support a weekly schedule of articles by so many different people. There's just not enough. I don't know. I don't really think that there's enough to talk about after so long.
Yeah.
I think it would be better if people wrote when they had something to say as opposed to having to put something out every week. And I'm sure you can feel that as the Tuesday deadline crushes in on you.
Well, you know, actually... I see what you're saying with the deck list, but usually when I write an article, like, I'll put my deck... I always like to build a deck for it, at least. Like, I don't really like doing the review decks.
Well, I mean, you have to sell cards, so you got to link the cards somehow, man.
Yeah, exactly. But also, I like to make... Even if, like, a card's a staple, a lot of time I'll put in something that's going to have more interactivity. Even if, like, you know, even if the deck gets less focused at that point, mostly I just want to have as many different interactions in there, and then you can pick and choose, because I never really intend people to copy the decks. I really, it's just like, this is the cool idea I had, you could use it if you want to. You know, I only really do, like, the top 10 card stuff because Frank asked me to, you know, that's fine, whatever. And you know, I also agree that it's hard to keep a lot of people writing about EDH. I think right now what the community is going through is that, like, you know, Andy's gone, you know, Carlos has moved on. All this, everyone's kind of doing other things, and, you know, Star City Games, everyone has something else to say in their articles. So I've just been trying to be the one person that actually, like, still talks about EDH only, you know? And, you know, I'll talk about EDH tournaments, and I'll talk about different formats of EDH rather than go into standard and stuff like that anymore. So, yeah, I try to rep mostly just EDH, and... lately, it's actually not been too hard because I've just been asking people what they want to see, and it's been so long since I've been taking requests, really, that I get, you know, the last four articles is just because someone's like, hey, what would you do for this? And I'm like, all right, let's find out. All right. You know, so.
All right, you're doing Dear Azami articles, don't lie.
Nah, I mean, this last one was this guy built Mimeoplasm, and He's like, you never did that, so what would you do? So I built a Million Pleasant deck that I liked a lot, so, you know.
Yeah, and, like, the people who write with the end goal of trying to get on one of the major sites, I think you're doing it completely wrong, you know what I mean.
Like, yeah, like starting out like that, you know?
Yeah. Like starting out with that being your goal as opposed to, you know, I mean, if you're not trying to come into it at it with from a place of honesty, it's going to really rub off as being pretty moronic.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I don't want EDH articles written by people who, you know, mostly play standard because I just don't care to see it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a knock to the standard players. I'm just like, if you're a dude that isn't good enough to write about your preferred format, so you talk about EDH, I don't really need to see it.
Yeah, I agree. That's the big thing for me too, is that I had to like consciously stop trying to play competitive formats because like I would think about my standard deck too much, so I wouldn't have anything to say about EDH, you know. But instead I just focus on EDH. That's fine, because really standard and modern is just really, it's a joke when you don't play it and you play EDH, because either they're fucking you over because they're making your cards expensive, or they're not playing your favorite card, so you're like, haha, fuck you, I get this, you know, I get whatever for really cheap, you know. So like, that's pretty much my only interaction with the big formats anymore. I don't have time for them, and I haven't wanted to play limited, and honestly, Return to Ravnica standard seems like a total clusterfuck. So,
yeah.
You know,
it seems like the kind of deck I want to play is almost there, but it's not completely there.
Yeah.
And it's funny, like, I would be fine playing mono blue, I think, in Ulmo, if it would make it, just because Aetherling's there and the Fog Bank is there. And so I could pretend that I was playing, like, Urza Block.
Yeah, that's true. I really miss Mana Leak in that deck, speaking of Tempest card. That Mana Leak is what really makes me not want to play. I don't know why. If I'm playing standard, I want to play a deck I can't play in EDH, and that kind of, like, really cool, grindy, cobbly deck is my preferred type of deck, you know?
Yeah, I like tempo a lot because it's weird because I hate playing mono red, even though that seems to be like what I should be playing.
Right.
But like just like bad blue tempo decks are just so much fun because it's like either I'm gonna win or you're just gonna beat me because I can't keep you from beating me.
Yeah, and it's pretty fun to do in standard because that's where it's like. That's where blue really, really shines, and you can't do it in EDH, and you can build your stupid red deck in EDH, and, you know, it's what it's there for. So, like, that's what's cool about the competitive formats when it comes to EDH, but for the most part, it's just, to me, and, you know, like we talked about, Magic players take themselves too seriously, and, like, that's a big part of standard, you know what I mean? Like,
they might be, they're the worst, I think, when it comes to it, because they're the ones who are taking things the most seriously for whatever reason.
Yeah, I mean, Craig Wesco is really cool. I can't knock him, and he just won big time.
Yeah.
He's from Chicago, and
we have articles. Gotta protect the shield here.
Yeah, I gotta protect the shield. Yep. Also, we write on the same day for TCG Player too.
Yeah.
So, you know, actually, I wanted to mention, like, getting started is really an interesting thing because for me, like, I started doing my blog, and like. The blog really had nothing to do with me getting onto TCG Player, honestly. I just responded and, like, put myself out there. And Frank was like, sure, you know, basically. And I don't think that's going to happen too often because there's not really a lot of sites that need EDH writers at this point. But it definitely wasn't because of my blog. So, and I remember Calvin used to have on 3 to the Face. He used to be like, none of the other, was it none of the other companies would take you? So
none,
you had
none of the real sites would have me. So.
Yeah.
So I made my own. And yeah. I really think that's how it, like, you should, when you start writing article, well, I know this thought is not coming out at all, but so many people I see on Twitter are, like, talking about how they want to write, but they don't, but no one will take them. If no one will take you, you make your own fucking shit.
Yep.
Like, you put it out there, and if it's good, at some, you know, sometime, somewhere along the line, somebody's going to see it.
And, you know,
that's
Gavin,
where I started.
Yeah.
Like
gathering.
No, I was just gonna say Gathering Magic has been doing that for a lot of people like Inkwell and CMDR and stuff like that. So, but last time I checked, I think they pay in like cool stuff ink credits. So, whatever. Sorry, Calvin, go ahead.
Yeah, because basically that's what I did. because a lot of people are always talking about they want to like start their own article or someone start writing. But a lot of places like Star City Games and TCG Player and wherever else, and insert random magic based place.com won't take you unless you actually, you know how to write. And most of you probably really don't really have much to say outside of what would probably equate to maybe about maybe 4 articles. And then after that, just stop. Because you know, you think you want to do it, but then at a certain point, you realize you probably don't really want to do it.
There's
well, granted. Well, granted, I would say myself, like, I could see myself writing more. Like, if it wasn't for the fact that I actually have, like, outlet with the two commander-based podcasts, I would be writing because I would want to get my ideas and opinions about EDH out there. And just by writing for those different things is what basically caught the attentions of people like Andy and Christian and Cassidy and Will. And my presence for doing those things are what kind of helped me become the person where they was like, oh, well, this guy actually continuously does something. And even if the other sites don't want you, you can always start a blog and just start something. People will hear you. People will hear your voice through the internet. And if what you're saying is interesting, they'll take you. And if they don't, then maybe what you're saying needs to be checked or edited or cleared up. I could have seen that, actually.
Basically, what we need now are we need shows that don't have Calvin on them.
Well, I mean, fuck, you're on every episode of the Commander Cast too, so.
Yeah, I don't really count, though.
No?
Let's move on to this, and stuff we don't like, and it might just be, like, my sensibilities are so warped compared to a lot of the Magic-playing populace that, like, I want EDH to be a grassroots, you know, thing where I don't want it on the big sites. I don't want them talking about it there because it doesn't have the right feel. Like, I think, like, Gathering Magic is the biggest site that I want to see EDH on, and it's, like, the casualist site on casual Earth, because that's what it's supposed to be.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there isn't really a lot of EDH content on SCG anymore, right? I mean, Benny, like, does one EDH article in a month, maybe?
Benny's the only good one. Well, I mean, Benny, I give a pass to, because...
I agree, and that's kind of why I try to play more like only do the EDH thing, try to be more like faithful to it so it doesn't come off like that as much, and well, hopefully anyways. And like, I you know, I always disagree with the rules committee, and I always, you know, I build with Primeval Titan a lot still, so you know, I try to, I mean, by this point people have probably figured out that, you know, I'm in it for the EDH long haul and stuff, but it does get really irritated when guys like, you know, I met Benny Smith on CommanderCast once and stuff, and he was cool, but you know, we don't even need to talk about how much McKeon sucked. You know, but yeah, it definitely seems like, you know, like you mentioned earlier, they're just like guys that no one cares about them, their standard insights, you know, because they don't win tournaments or anything, so it's just like, well, let's do EDH then, you know. You know, at least with TCG Player, you know, they did try to have another guy doing an EDH article, but he didn't last long at all, and I don't think they really have it. Some people like delve in every once in a while, but I don't think they really care that much, you know, so at least they have no interest of, like, faking a bunch of EDH content on TCG Player, so.
I'm going to start faking a bunch of EDH content on TCG Player. I'm going to run you out.
Go for it.
You're like, yeah, I'd like to see fucking
big,
TCG
Player money. Oh. Christian's trying to get those store credit points.
Yeah, I need them store credit points.
Yeah, for Gathering Magic.
What was I going to say? If it drops again, we'll just call it.
Okay.
Because I figure that it will be a pain in the butt. Calvin, what do you hate?
What do I hate for articles as far as EDH is concerned?
Yeah.
Well, one of the things I kind of really don't like is the concept of the EDH article that's not an EDH article. And it's basically, you know, something like, well, I'm just going to flat out say it. Benny Smith started doing it. And while granted, I do enjoy the EDH content and the non-EDH content, it's the, if I'm coming to your article every week for EDH content, I don't understand why you got to tell me about a different format that you've been playing.
I'm gonna have to disagree with you there. I'm always for broadening horizons.
I understand having broad horizons, but it's more of the, if this is a column that you're just doing where you're just talking casually about stuff you enjoy, that's one thing. I fully get that. But no one comes to, like, CommanderCast.com or OffColorCast.com and expect to hear about Legacy.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I just think people don't come to OffColorCast.com, period. But
point taken, no, right?
I did prove that somebody came.
I understand that, but if a person's really good and I actually enjoy their work, I want to hear about the other stuff they like to do. Mm-hmm. And I might be in the huge minority, but I always find their takes on other things usually more interesting than their takes on the thing that I'm actually reading them for.
Well, see, that's one thing where, like, I fully understand where you're coming from. And I have no problem with that in general. Like,
it can't happen,
like,
a lot, though. It's got to be, an every now and then thing. It can't be something that you do so often that it becomes a regular thing.
Right. And it's one of those things, like, I fully understand, like, even, like, when I did, like, what was it, did my blog, I would do a bunch of EDH content and a bunch of different things for deck ideas and cards and stuff like that that I would pick out or choose or whatever, and random EDH this, that, and third. And then every so often, I would just kind of throw in, like, a random, like, article here or there just to kind of inform people about what was going on in my current or daily life or various things I've done outside of EDH. And that's one thing. I can fully accept that. Like, if it's the week where Mark Rosewater decides he wants to tell you about how his family is doing or how he's grateful for having his job as, like, God, ruler, empire of the game that we all love and play, that's one thing. But if it was like the first week of the month, we're going to do Commander, and the second week we're going to do Modern, and then I'm going to tell you about Standard, then I'm going to tell you about my family, and then I'm going to tell you about how I did Unlimited last week, but it's still an EDH themed podcast or an EDH themed article, suddenly now it's just grown to this is a you show. And I can understand that if that's what we were coming here for. I just don't like the idea of being told that I'm coming to get a car and I'm getting sent home on a boat.
Any thoughts, Cassidy?
Just a personal thing.
Yeah, I agree with that. Mostly, exactly. If you're coming for, like, just Mark Rosewater or someone famous who does other stuff, that's cool. That's their show. But, we're talking about Benny Smith. You Like of the Juice was all about Commander Cast, about EDH and Commander for a long time. And it's just like he started doing other things and writing about it. That's fine. But at the same time, it's not the same. You know what I mean? So, luckily Benny Smith is personable enough that you're like, fine, we'll just read it anyways. But it could be a really big problem, especially if they're scrubs or, whatever.
If someone's not good, like, if you have no personality, definitely don't try and branch out and go out on a limb like that, because it just fails so terribly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you need to have a personality. So,
but I know for, like, some of us, like, I mean, it, when it comes to nerd passions, I think Magic might rate, like, number 4 for me. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if I were to really put something out, I'm sure every now and then I'd talk about Street Fighter for no good reason.
Oh yeah, of course. you could throw little bits and tidbits in there.
Of course, it also helps that I only write when I want to.
Yeah.
And then even when I do, I think I have like 4 articles on Neil's site. That's actually something I want to put out again. You know, if you're a bum and don't even want to, create a site, you can always go to wrongwaygoback.com and he will put up a blog for you, so you can start just writing right there, and then you post your link on Twitter and maybe somebody reads it.
Yeah, that's all you can hope for, pretty much.
Yeah, sometimes it happens, sometimes it don't. So kids, if you want to tell us what you like about articles, we don't really have any anymore, so you can say nothing on our site, so that's yeah. Pretty good. Why don't you email the show at offcolorcast@gmail.com? We know you won't.
Oh yeah. Also, real quick, what do you guys think about, like, video articles? Like,
I don't watch them.
No.
Nah.
I personally have no problem with video articles, but if it's going to be a video article, I would kind of like them to have a written copy of whatever the video article is underneath it.
Mm-hmm. Like MTGO Academy
is. Sometimes I can't watch something.
Yeah, MTGO Academy is famous for that. Where like, I get link baited sometime because they'll talk about, like, how they went 3-0 and something, and then I realize it's just 3 rounds of videos, and I'm like, I ain't watching that. I like to read pauper stuff too. Mm-hmm. And so, like, it'll be like, you know, this dude went 3-0 with his, you know, mono green deck. And I'm like, oh, I'd like to see what's in here. And then it's 3 videos. I'm like, nope.
No? Oh, okay, I see. Not even MTGO videos, like, showing what the deck does? Oh, okay.
I read about Magic when I'm at work.
Right, okay.
And so, like, I can read and pay attention, but I can't, like, watch a video and pay attention very well.
Yeah, fair.
Because, you actually have to pay attention to what they're saying and stuff, and that takes a lot of work.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep, same. Because a lot of my like Magic content comes in the transit between going from home to work or doing it while I'm at work. So the only time I actually have time to watch a video is usually when I'm at home. And by that time, like when I'm at home, I've got better things to do than sit back and watch you play Magic.
Yeah. Fair. I used to watch the Pro Tour streams when I worked during the week. Mm-hmm. I mean, on the weekend, and now I just never watch them.
Like on
not
Twitch?
Even on the week.
Yeah, on Twitch. Fighting Street Fighter streams I'll still like put on in the background sometime if I have two monitors, but watching people play Magic when I have other things to do is just so hard.
Yeah, fair enough.
That being said, I think creating video content when the only visual is Magic Online, I think, is also very difficult because you need to be very engaging, and I don't think a lot of them are. Mm-hmm. You almost have to record yourself playing the match and not talk during it, and then you know record voiceover after.
Right. That's probably be the way I would end up doing it too. You know, yeah. Kind of talked about that in the past. Otherwise, you end up either playing shittily or not saying stuff, and I can imagine having to play like 7 games of MTGO on. Line before you get a game that actually ends, you know what I mean? That's always been my big thing, like, oh man, I could spend like an hour recording this shit and people just drop out and ruin it.
Yeah, I actually played a game last week and I had 3 drops. I'm like, all right.
Yeah, exactly.
I did nothing, and then I finally cast a Death Render. I'm like, sweet. And then Stang died because I was running Stang, and I'm like, oh sweet, I can put this Ghoul Tree out. Yeah, I'm running Ghoul Tree. What about it?
What about it?
Wow.
Hey, welcome to Off Color Book Talk. That seems a sweet name for it. Our boy Cassidy wrote a book, so why don't you tell us why you wrote it first?
Well, basically it started off as something to do while I was working really shitty office jobs, honestly. Like, I really like writing, but I was always writing, like, songs and stuff like that because I was in a band for so long. But after a while, I realized that I really liked writing the books, and I was pretty good at it and stuff. So that's what I decided I want to do, you know. Basically, writing the articles and getting a podcast, it's all been, like, to... it's all been part of the same plan to become a writer, so...
Asshole.
To become an asshole. Yep.
All right, so is this a storyline that's been in your head for a long time, or is this something that you put together after you wrote other stuff?
No, this is like the first thing that I've been working on. Honestly, it's taken 10 years to do it because, you know, the style evolved, and I'll have to go back and edit it. It's basically been edited like 6 million times now. Mm-hmm. Most of the characters are based off of D&D characters that I had, so their personalities came from them a lot. You know, a lot of people I used to know back in high school. Basically one of the stories is called The Book of Kings, and it's about a bunch of D&D characters that, you know, in the D&D game, they took over a mining town and made all sorts of money. So this is like, it's all that story particularly is those characters like 5 years afterwards and stuff. So, and you know, pretty much all the characters are based on something from D&D or characters I created earlier, but, I've definitely been working on this one forever. It took me a long time to develop the world and how I wanted to do that. And so, like, at this point, really all there is to do is just keep writing because I have part 2, like, ready to go. I just need more editing. Yeah, like I said, it takes forever. So I'm hopefully going to have that done by the end of the year. And then, I have a whole nother series written in notebooks, because like I said, I do this while I'm at my shitty office jobs. And, so that one's more like kind of Saw meets Dungeons and Dragons. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's called Dungeon Land. That'll be out eventually. I have tons of stuff written down. Mostly it's just the process of either putting it on the computer or editing it once it's there. You know, I'm assuming that eventually, the editing process will be someone else's job, and that'll be really exciting.
Someone to start making that money.
Yeah, exactly.
Will it be Calvin's job?
Hey, no. No, no offense to Calvin, but I had to edit his stuff, so.
So, as it's taken so long to write, has there been anything that you've read over the 10 years that's influenced the writing process during your changes?
Not really, because that's one, like, this is something Terry Goodkind said, who, he's the guy who wrote the Sword of Truth books,
which,
the first 5 books are awesome, you know, I liked them, but, yeah, after a while it got really dumb, but he said that he doesn't read other writers, and at first I thought that was, like, really, like, a highfalutin of him and stuff, but I kind of understand it, because if I would have read, like, George R. Martin, you know, the
Game of Rape and Thrones.
Yeah, the Game of Thrones, like, what I do is kind of similar in the structure from what I've heard. And if I would have read his stuff, I couldn't say that I didn't read it, you know? You know what I mean? Like, and I'm more trying to bring, like, the energy of, like, TV and, graphic novels, things like that. So that's what I'm inspired by, like, 100 Bullets, Preacher, Sandman, Fables was, I mean, I already had most of it done when I was reading Fables, but like, Fables was definitely like, oh yeah, this stuff's awesome. You know, it's like, backing me up and stuff. So that's mostly what I'm going for. 24, Sopranos, just like, I don't really like to read novels anymore. I went to college and I studied history and I read so much like in book form that like it kind of ruined it for me. And then I spend so much time editing and reading my own shit over and over again that it's like, actually reading for pleasure that's not like magic related or like an article or something, it just doesn't happen as often, unfortunately. So short question, not influenced by any writer's stuff per se, maybe more like Faulkner, like Sound and the Fury. I don't know if people have read that, but
I'm sure they had to.
It's written stream of consciousness, like kind of first, like as it's going, as I kind of write, so like That was a big thing, and a little bit early, I like The Gunslinger, I read that, and I was like, Stephen King's first book sucks, you know, that kind of thing. But for the most part, no, I haven't read shit.
So, where'd the title come from?
Basically, the idea was that, you know, part of the story is that, the assassin, the character of Karn, he's hired to, kill...
Silver Golem?
No. It's kind of the same idea because, you know, Karn, the Silver Golem is named Karn, ironically, because Karn means flesh, you know? So, actually, my Karn is more of like, he's like an epitome of flesh. He's very angry and, you know, libidinal driven and what all that stuff.
Does he bone things?
No, he doesn't bone stuff. He's too angry. He's a junkie, so he spends all his time, like, either trying to get money or, like, just staring at his bottle of heroin until he can finally do it, basically. But he's hired to kill the god of the sun and snuff the sun, basically. So that's where it came from. The main idea of that story is that the sun is going to be killed, and then part two is like, you know, after, no spoiler alert, he fucking beats the shit out of the sun god. So
is Karn your Mary Sue?
A little bit. a little bit. You know, he's kind of like, he really reacts to everything angrily and impatiently. So it's kind of like, if like I didn't care what other people thought of me, like all I wanted to do was just like piss everyone off. And I was a really powerful assassin that, you know, he kills everything. Like he's basically Superman in a lot of ways in the story too. So yeah.
Well,
but
when I read this, then I'm just going to picture Karn as you angrily running everywhere.
Yeah, you could do that. He's in better shape and taller than me and
nope,
all that.
But I'm just picturing you.
Okay.
And then every now and then you're going to have to go on the toilet for about a day and then go back to killing the sun.
Yep. Yeah, basically.
I don't know. Is there anything else you wanted to say about it to tease people into reading it?
Like, I really try to come from the point of view of, like I said, I'm very influenced by TV and stuff, and South Park is probably the biggest influence as it, just because they're very irreverent and they kind of like carry that with them even when they're trying to be serious. And that's really what I was trying to do, is really be irreverent. Like, you know, if you read Middle Earth nowadays, like, it's good, but I couldn't do it ever again, even if I was interested in reading, because it's long, it's there's a lot of parts that are just completely pointless to the story. It's like reading a Greek tragedy. You know, they list things for historical sake. You know, like, oh yeah, if you read the Iliad, you'll actually find out how many ships they brought across and all this, how much they were using and how much cargo they could carry on boats. And you're just like, really? I just want to read the story part, you know?
The Iliad is pretty terrible.
Yeah, exactly. And then there's also, you know, there's Harry Potter, which I think is just some of the most god-awful, annoying stuff on the planet. Taking awesome stuff like wizards and just making it completely bullshit with, like, come on, the guy's name is Dumbledore. I mean, come on. Come on. So that's kind of what it's a reaction to, is trying to be like, kind of like trying to be a modern fantasy that appeals to people that have a brain, I guess, and then people that are tired of reading Middle Earth or can't, or, you know, if you like Middle Earth but you can't get through it, that's okay, you know. That's what I wrote it for. You don't have to read Middle Earth. You can just watch the movies, and that's pretty much the whole goddamn thing. So, there's a talking sword, and he's a dick, so that's pretty funny.
All right. Well, it was great having you on here. Kids, get the book, sun-snuff.com.
Yep. Paperback or on Kindle.
So, I figured we could share a bit of Sun Snuff with you. We're going to read a section of the Book of Assassin, because it features the Karn character that Cassidy was talking about earlier. So here we go. Book of Assassin. Lights out. A hooded man walks in the shadows of a dilapidated apartment, windows and doors boarded over ages ago. The murky morn merges with the tenement, blurring into the structures and street of the urban sprawl, producing a sinister cityscape. Above the slum, dawn is busy with the eradication of twilight. The man's footfall echoes through the desolate district with pronounced clicks. He strolls with purpose, but is careful of his surroundings, his thick neck turning at the slightest sound. He mumbles to himself softly, stiff-jawed as he stalks the seedy streets. "Hey, baby!" An old bleach-blonde woman wearing a blue mini-dress steps into his path, a stack of flashy bracelets adorning her scrawny wrists. "You looking for a good time, honey?" The man stops and looks up, face hidden by the shadow of his hooded cloak. With an inconvenienced growl, he shoves the lady out of the night aside. "Fuck off, skank." "Don't touch me!" The prostitute hits the wall with a yelp, jewelry tingling. "Daddy, he hit me!" "Hey, buddy." A garish rhino man with silver-tipped cane rushes to the scene, his hulking shape sporting a fur coat with black and white stripes. "You got a lot of fucking nerve pushing around my girl like that." The man quickly sizes the gaudy daddy up. He scoffs and turns to walk away. "I don't have time for this shit." The pachyderm pimp growls and without a word swings his steel cane at the dark figure. Reacting with lightning speed, the man grabs the cane with his left hand. The appendage is twisted and demonic, jet black and twice the size of his right. He rips the cane from the pimp's grip and flings it into the darkness. The daddy gasps, backstepping his gaze fixed on the black hand. "Sorry about that, buddy." He chuckles nervously. "I thought you was somebody else." "But daddy," the prostitute pulls the pimp's soft sleeve. "That guy hurt me. You have to do something." "Shut up. That's Cain Gavril. Gavril. Whatever." The procurer of proclivities grabs his employee's wrist, her bangles jangling. "The fucking assassin." Karin the assassin clears his throat, an impatient frown on his shadowy visage. Scram. Pimp and pro squeal in unison and beat a hasty retreat back into the night from whence they came. Shaking his head dismissively, the assassin redooms his trajectory. "What is the world coming to these days? I can't even get some peace and quiet at night. This is my time, damn it." He cringes as he steps over an unconscious gutter drunk while descending a stout staircase. Come to think of it, Black Bay is as shitty as ever. At the sharp clack of shooed hooves, Karn ducks behind a barrel overflowing with refuse. Peeking over the obstacle, he watches as a pair of mounted guards pass through the torchlit plaza close by. "I can't believe we got assigned to the grossest neighborhood in the city, on the same night that Gavril's been spotted, no less." One of the sentinels nervously inspects the square about him. "I've got a newborn, I don't need the stress." "Calm down, son, this is Black Bay." The other guard takes a slight lead as they exit the plaza. Someone is always seeing something in this lawless land. You can't go through life without worrying when you'll encounter an assassin. Fretting like that will only put you in an early grave. Besides, Gavril only kills important magical-type folk. The voices fade as they leave the scene, and you ain't either. With the departure of the patrol, a meager figure enters the plaza. The shape is completely shrouded in heavy black linens, its face hidden by a mesh mask covering all but its pale eyes. It creeps quietly, scanning the darkness beyond the square. Karn looms into the plaza as if from nowhere, catching the timid creature off guard. The assassin's hood is down. The rising sun reveals his weathered face. His eyes are a cold blue, with a head full of rich brown hair, grayed but bit by the ears. "You must be Mr. Gavril," the figure's voice is shrill and jagged, made more so by the imposing hitman. "I'm a messenger, sent by our Lord and Savior, dodge all the holy, sacred..." "Get to the point." Mr. Gavril folds his arms across his chest, his black hand evident. "I've got shit to do." The messenger raises its pale, gnarled hand. "The mighty and honorable Lord Dagil asks that you..." It snaps its fingers shut like a sprung snare. "Snuff the sun!" Karn curls a stubble-laden lip, lifting a brow. "The sun, eh?" The messenger taps its long digits together. "Our most benevolent savior, seeing that you will be up to the task." "Just tell me the deadline already," the assassin growls impatiently. "Freak." Beneath the mesh, stuttering mumbles emerge until the messenger finally spits out, "The deed must be done by the next full moon." Through deep-set eyes, Karn glares at the pitiful thing, snarling slightly with just a flash of tooth. "Oh," the meek messenger flinches. "5 days. The deal is 500 million worth of our fine deep elven rubies, and another 5 upon completion." The poor creature chuckles nervously. "When you are finished, you will use the small scroll in the bag to set up the meeting place." 5 days, huh? Karn chuckles, shrugging. "For 1 billion in rubies, I guess anything is possible." Holding forth a small black pouch, the messenger laughs with a zealous glee. "By the next full moon," the assassin snatches the perch. Lights out. And there you go, kids. That's some sun snuff for you. Be sure to check it out. Sun-snuff.com.